are listening to Our Genuine Humans. These are the people at the heart of the agency that bring the social element to life.
To a new podcast that we're doing, which is Our Genuine Humans. And of course, we have the podcast Genuine Humans, but we really wanted to shine a bit of a spotlight on the people in our agency, the social element. And I'm joined by the co-host of Genuine Humans, Wendy Christie. Wendy, hello.
Hello, Tamara. How are you doing?
Well, I'm excited. This is a bit of a first for us. And we've also been joined by Chloe Mathieu Phillips, who has been with us for a while now in a number of different guises in the social element. I'll let her tell you all about that. But thank you, Chloe, for being our guinea pig and going first on this.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. This is fun. You're right. I've been here for a really long time. Not a really long time, because this is an agency where everybody's been here a long time. I've been here for 7 years, 6 years, 2016. I came here, I started as a marketing director, and I was based in Canada. I was a contractor then, because there was no office in Canada, right? But then eventually, my husband was offered the job in London. So I was able to come here, and I'm now based in London, working as part of the UK team. So it's a really nice evolution.
And you managed to switch jobs as well while you did that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I went from marketing to running our strategy team, and now it's all of our social team.
Fantastic. And Chloe, do you want to just share what life was like before the social element? That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? There was no life before the social. No, give us a bit of a flavor of your sort of early career and how you came to be working with us.
Yes, I actually, most of the exec team were my first Twitter connections when I first logged onto Twitter in 2007. I used to, at that time, that was my first job after uni. I lived in London. It was not community manager. The title was community and content specialist for TripAdvisor on Soho Square here in London. And I did that for about a year. It was amazing because we were a team of people in charge of different markets and audiences. There were five of us. And we were just running the TripAdvisor communities and content and deciding what was going on the website, what was going in the newsletters. It was a great job. And then I was able to take that job on the road. And my husband and I went and backpacked around the world for about 8 months. And I was meeting with they were not influencers, they were destination experts in those days. So the people who were very active in the forums and knew everything about a certain destination. So I was meeting with them in different places as I was traveling. And after that, we moved back to New York City, where we had first lived. And I worked with all that experience. That was right at the time where all the advertising agencies were looking for social media people.
Yeah.
So my experience at TripAdvisor was very unique. And I was able to land a job at 360i in New York, where I was one of the first hires of an amazing team of social media marketers. So that was a good 7 years, again, of my life before then moving to Canada. So yeah, that's why I guess I've been working in social my entire career.
That's, not many people can say that, actually. That's pretty damn cool.
Mm-hmm. And I must say, for the sake of this podcast, that I started as a moderator. I was moderating content for some various message boards and forums, seeing some all kinds of things that should not be there. So those were my first jobs with content and community, and then worked my way up.
And I think there's a lot of people in the agency who, like you, sort of started off, cut their teeth in community management and moderation, and some of us going all the way back to AOL, and that's where, of course, Wendy began as well.
It would be really lovely to hear what you're passionate about outside work as well. So what have you got going on outside work?
Yeah, I feel like I spent the last few years, or most years of my adult life, just moving very often, moving countries. So that kind of takes everything. Like every single hour is spent adapting to a new place. And usually when we get to the point where we start recognizing people on the street and having ad hoc conversations, then we're like, it's time to move. We made it. We did it. Time to move somewhere else. So that's been kind of my hobby for the last 10 years, that and raising two children. However, I run a lot. I don't run as much as I'd like to, but it's something that I really enjoy. Last time I went for a run was in December, so it's been a little while. But I signed up for a 16K race around the Annecy Lake in the French Alps.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's trail running, which I've never done. It's 16K, which I've never done. And it's an altitude, which I've never done.
No.
And it's coming in May. So I need to get ready. So you're going to see me talk or hear me talk about running a lot in the next few months, hopefully.
Is that one of those ones where you have to sort of take the stuff with you on your backpack? And I don't know what trail running is.
It's probably not, I'm trying to do the math, but it's only a few hours.
Oh, right? Okay.
If you're really good, you can probably do it in much less than a few hours. So you don't really have to carry anything. Probably some water because it's going to be, you know, in early summer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. No, it's not. I think it's an intro one.
I suspect I would probably take a little bit longer and there might be a hotel in the middle of it.
Exactly.
Yes.
And a good meal.
Very different approach.
Yeah. Yeah, someone carrying your bags.
So on the theme about theme of outside work, what would be your idea of a perfect weekend?
I think my perfect weekend would definitely include, it's why I think about key bookends, right? It would definitely start with coffee. I don't drink a lot of coffee, but I really enjoy my coffee. Coffee with a newspaper in the sun. Actually, better than that, it would start with a Eurostar. I'm not really picky about where I would be going. So go to a different city and then probably in the morning, first morning, a run. I love running. I don't love getting early to run, getting up early to run, but I love running early. You know, a big city in the morning before the crowds on the weekends, it's amazing. It's so much fun. I've done that in Venice last spring at like 7 a.m. The streets were empty. And also in London, like Christmas time, early morning, it's really fun with all the Christmas lights when there's, again, when the center of the city is empty before the crowds. So that would be part of my ideal weekend. And then it would probably include a meal sitting at the bar in a really, like a small restaurant that serves locally sourced products where the staff is really friendly and where you don't have to make any choices, actually, and where they just bring you food based on what you like. So that would be a big part of it. And then it would end, and that's where it might get a bit unrealistic. It would end coming back home early enough to do everything I need to do to get ready for the week ahead. Probably a nice family meal, watch something smart on television before going to bed, early enough to have all the energy I need for the week ahead. So that's the part that I've never nailed, really.
I don't know if any of us have.
Exactly.
No, that sounds like a lovely weekend, though. And yeah, we don't have to be completely realistic in our answers to these questions, which will probably help with the next question. If you could time travel to any point in time with no consequence, so you don't have to worry about changing, you know, timelines if you by your actions, when and where would you go to?
I would go to the future. I would go to a future where teletransportation is possible.
Love it.
That's always been my line. It's like, if I could just in an instant be having cake and coffee with my grandmother in Austria or have my dog on my lap for a few hours, because my dog lives with my sister in Canada, that's my dream.
Perfect.
And a slightly different question now. If you could be remembered for one thing, just one thing that you'd be remembered for, what would it be?
I think it would be to... I would like to be remembered as someone who knew what happiness looks like for her and who was able to prioritize it and make the right choices.
I love that.
It's a very deep answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have also cured cancer, but yeah.
Well, we're going to shift to the less deep stuff now. Favorite food. You know that food is such an important part of the social element. We're big fans of like team food and getting our clients together to eat. But what's your favorite food experience that you remember?
I used to call myself a foodie, again, before my life became mostly family life. I moved to New York City and I made it my duty to read every single restaurant review and try everything. I had a list. I was busy. I was exhausted because I was always up. But so I tried a lot of things. And I think for me, the best experience at this point is one where I don't have to make any decision. And one where the staff makes me feel like I'm part of the family.
Yeah.
And that can happen in a bar with a beer or at a Michelin star restaurant. And it can be people you know or total strangers. But when the staff is able to do this, it changes everything to me. And I have one example, actually, where that happened. That was 11 Madison Park in New York.
Yes.
I used to teach French for a while when I lived there. And one of my students was their wine director.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he got us a table and invited us for a night where he just had fun with us. He was just bringing two different wines with each dish and be like, what do you think of this? Which one should I pair with that? What is this? Should this dish come before that one or after? Or he would bring out, just randomly bring a lot of things and pick our brains. And it was, I remember getting up in the middle of the meal at about 10 p.m. to go for a walk around the square and then sitting down for more food. So it was a great night.
There's something about 11 Madison. I don't know if you've ever seen the TED talk by the owner and the founder of 11 Madison, but the whole concept is creating this sort of completely over the top customer service where they will just sort of get you whatever you want and make it extremely wonderful. And it's something that I'm sort of thinking that that's what we do for clients, but I feel somewhere that we need to go to 11 Madison and all have a meal there just to get a really good strategy for our clients.
I agree. Absolutely.
You had no idea where that was going, did you?
No, but I like it.
It's so interesting, actually. And that obviously I could talk about food all the time, but I know exactly what you mean about people just sort of taking care of you and just making it an experience. There was one restaurant in New Orleans where basically they said, don't look at the menu. That's you know, some people want to choose on menu, but the best thing is if you trust us and we'll just bring you things. And they just kept bringing dishes and you never knew when it was going to stop and you never knew what was going to happen. And I had sort of things like, I think it was like crocodile at one point and snails, and it was just amazing.
And to me, that's the sign, and it's a little bit like our industry, right? The ability to listen and to tell good stories about your work is the best skill a restaurant person can have, I think, or a food person can have.
Yeah.
It's just always, and make people feel good about what they're doing with you.
There you go. So we heard it here first. We have to go to more restaurants in order to be better for our clients.
That's it. That's what I heard. How would your friends describe you?
It's actually funny because I have a close group of friends that we've probably known each other since we were 16, and we have a chat group. And yesterday, one of them said something about how I have the ability. I wasn't sure at the moment if it was a positive or a negative, but to make big life decisions on a dime. She said, "You just turn around and change everything really quickly." But the funny thing is that I do that because that is so out of my comfort zone. And it's the only way I will get out of my comfort zone if I just stop thinking about it and just do it. So I tend to just seize opportunities.
And karaoke. Chloe, you know I love a bit of karaoke. Do you like doing karaoke? And if so, what's your favorite song?
I love singing. But a little bit like what I was just describing, my happy place when I sing is alone or maybe with my kids. Ideally, I'm in a car driving across a bridge in South Florida with the windows rolled down. That is, I will not stop singing in that scenario. Now, if you have to put me in a dark basement with a ton of people, I will still have fun and sing. And, you know, that's also great. I learned too late after a few karaoke experiences with you, Tamara, that a good karaoke song is not so much about what I like, but about what the audience will enjoy.
Yeah.
And I still haven't found the right song that I'm able to sing properly and that people will enjoy. But if you were to put me on the spot right now, I think I would pick Celine Dion, but in French, mostly her 90s period.
Nice.
I would go for.
Nice. We'll have to do that next time.
Yes.
Well, I want to say thank you so much, Chloe, for number one, being here, being part of the team and being so brilliant. Actually, that's not just one thing, that's several things, but also for taking a chance and going first with this series, which I'm super excited about. And a big hats off to Jess for arranging all of this and coming up with the idea. But thank you, Chloe, for doing that. Is there anything that you haven't had a chance to talk to that you'd like to sort of share or any closing thoughts from you?
I think this is just, thank you, Jess, for organizing this. This is really fun. We don't do, not that we don't do enough of this, but in our work, right, we're always going from meeting to meeting and there's not always a lot of time for getting to know each other. So this is a really nice idea. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to our Genuine Humans. To keep in touch and find out more, follow us on social.